Hello, Baker McKenzie welcomes you to Connect on Tech, a global podcast series covering legal developments on data, technology, privacy, and security that impact your business. Here's your host, Brian Hengisbaugh, Global Chair of Privacy and Security.
Welcome to the program, everybody. I'm Brian Hengisbaugh, I'm Global Chair of Privacy and Security at Baker McKenzie. So pleased to have my good friend and colleague, Stephen Reynolds, with us today, as we are looking at the Log4j vulnerability and some of the issues that are emerging from that. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Great. Thank you. Great to have you, Brian. Great to be here.
So, Stephen, Log4j, what is this and why should anyone care?
Yeah. So, in a nutshell, this is possibly the largest security vulnerability we have seen since the internet. What this means is that with this vulnerability, which is in a Java library that's widely used across the internet, what this means is that a third party can execute code on someone else's computer. That's essentially what this means if this library is on the server.
Yeah, that sounds bad. What should an organization be doing now to try to prevent that type of vulnerability from materializing into a real issue?
Yeah, so there's been a lot put out on the technical side. So certainly organizations can patch and they can upgrade to the latest version of Log4j or Log4j with using that Apache library and the updates there. But the other real risk here is not just what you're doing on your systems, it's other companies' systems that organizations are relying upon. So your computers, your web servers may incorporate third-party applications in them, which is typical, and those third-party applications may be still vulnerable to this this security issue.
Yep, and then of course your connectivity to third-party systems creates a potential issue for you. But is this something that just the security folks should be worried about? Are there any legal risks that people should be looking out for? Or what should, say, privacy professionals or lawyers be looking after here?
Sure. So there are definitely some legal risks. The risk of a data breach would be one of them. Some organizations have already seen the vulnerability exploited. Some of the initial ones, attackers are using it just to do like Bitcoin mining on someone else's computer. So people are seeing that. But then they're also seeing a lot of scans being done by third parties looking to see for vulnerabilities. So there's been increases of those. And so from a legal risk standpoint, the real risk are a couple things. One, if you're an organization that is a provider or a vendor to someone else, it's that, you know, your own software or your own systems could put someone else at risk. And then you have that third party liability potentially for a data security incident that someone else has. And then there's kind of on the first party side of, you know, your own issues that you may have, kind of the flip side of that, either based off of your own internal systems or potential issues you'll have by incorporating some other vendor's applications or interfacing with them.
Do you think there's a potential, and this is more of a security question, but you're a security guy at heart, that you might get in there and your security teams might patch, but there might be code embedded in there, which almost effectively acts as a backdoor. So it might be a bit of a sleeper issue if you're not able to sort of fully remediate and investigate. Is that a potential risk with this one?
Yeah, one of the risks is this organization's not knowing. You know, a lot of organizations run legacy applications. Going back to my own days as a software developer, I was, you know, recently talking to one of my former employers, and they said, "Oh, yeah, we still use this program you wrote." And I was kind of scared, thinking this, I can't believe someone's still using this. But that happens all the time, you know. And so you're using older legacy applications, and people who may not, you know, the people currently at the company may not know all of what's running and what libraries that depends on. So I think a lot of work is going to be spent just identifying what programs and what applications could have this vulnerability.
And not to say this out loud, and I almost shudder even thinking about it, but there's no necessarily limit to what types of issues could result from the vulnerability. In other words, you could even see a sophisticated threat actor getting in and using this as a foot in the door to maybe get started with a potential ransomware attack, for example, on an organization, not simply as minimal as using your computer to do Bitcoin mining, but actually full-blown, large-scale events could come from this.
Exactly. So you can see, you know, there are some reports saying that there may be ransomware incidents already that are tied to this. You could certainly imagine seeing files being exfiltrated, copied off of a server using this vulnerability for sure. If you can execute, you know, any code basically on someone else's server, then there's really not a lot of limits to what you can do.
Okay, very good. Well, Stephen, this has been excellent. We're going to leave it there. This feels very much to me like one that might be worthy of an update a little bit down the road. But Stephen Reynolds, cybersecurity expert extraordinaire, thanks for being with us.
All right. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you for listening, and stay tuned for our next podcast when we connect on tech. For more information on data and technology, subscribe to our blog at connectontech.com or visit our website at bakermckenzie.com.